Good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on with our series we've been calling Too Good to Be True. And at the Delaware campus, we were talking about significance and really asking this question, you know, does what I do in life on this earth have any eternal or lasting value? That was really the question, right? Do I matter? Does my life matter? And does what I do on this earth have any lasting or eternal value? And so we went to Matthew chapter 25, and we talked about how really across the scriptures, at first I prefaced it by saying, look, from an atheistic sort of secular humanist or naturalistic perspective, the answer to that I think is no. From that perspective, there is no God. From that perspective, we are the products of time and chance. The entire universe is the product of time and chance. And so ultimately, there's no one with any greater authority than us to say that what we do matters. From that perspective, the world will burn up and be destroyed at some point in time. The sun, scientists think sometime around 5 billion years from now, will become what's called a red giant. It'll swallow up the earth and our solar system and basically flame, and everyone will die. Good morning, by the way. That's sort of from that perspective, I think the end of the answer is there's no ultimate meaning. And I even shared how I had a buddy of mine who kind of shared that with me in college. He, to his credit, is, I think, full of integrity in that he takes his worldview to kind of where it ends. And I asked him, do you feel like there's any... he's an atheist. And I said, do you feel like there's any ultimate meaning to life? And he said, no, I have to choose to imbue my life with meaning. And so what I talked about was I believe that the Bible teaches something very different. It teaches a different reality, that we have meaning because the God of the universe has created us in his image, which gives us value. And he's also given us a purpose to display his glory, to bear his image and display his glory across all the earth. And specifically as Christians, we've been called to make disciples, to go, right? We've been restored to our original purpose. Through Christ, we've been forgiven, we have a right relationship with God, and we've now been called to go and make disciples and spread the fame of Christ across the world. And we went to Matthew 25 to look specifically at this idea that our decisions that we make here on earth echo into eternity. When you read Matthew 25, you see this master who, Jesus is the master of the story, right? He comes, he leaves, and he comes back. That is Christ, right? He has come, he has gone now into heaven, and he will one day come again. And the master entrusts to his servants some of his wealth. And so what we talked about was, look, just as in the parable, the master entrusts his servants with his wealth, God has entrusted us with time, with opportunity, with talents, with treasure. God has given us our wealth, our personalities, our giftings, our friendships, our relationships, and opportunities, our jobs, our careers, to serve him, to leverage our lives for the sake of the gospel. He has entrusted us with what is his, and he's entrusted it to us for a time. And he actually expects us to do something with that. We talked about how God entrusts and God expects. But then I made sure to talk about, I think for some of us, we maybe fear that in the sense that, man, like this expectation from God, it feels overwhelming in a sense. And I just made sure to say, look, when you read that in the context of all the scriptures, right, that the master is coming back and will demand an account, and we will give an account to him for what we've done. The whole context of the parable is there's the key to understanding it really is the relationship, right? The first two servants, the third servant is a lazy and wicked servant who fears the master, and he hides his talent, the treasure that the master has given him, and doesn't do anything with it. The first two go and use it wisely and leverage their lives for the sake of the master, and they are rewarded for that. But it also seems they have a relationship with the master. They eagerly anticipate his return. And so I take that to be believers in Christ. Right? When you understand who God is and you understand his goodness, you recognize it is actually a joy to leverage your life for the sake of the gospel. And I made sure to say, not only does God entrust and equip, but he also, entrusts and expects, but he also equips. God does not leave us alone. Jesus promised when he said, go make disciples, he said, and behold, I will be with you to the very end of the age. And it's just such a comfort, I think, and an encouragement to us to know, okay, as we seek to leverage our lives for the gospel, and some of us feel like, God, I just don't,
I don't know what that looks like, right? What does that look like at work and at home and in the various spheres of life? We have this promise that God will be with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how the Holy Spirit distributes gifts to each one of us. God will be with us and he will equip us. He'll be with you at work when you have an opportunity to share the gospel, to represent Christ, and you're scared of what that looks like, what the consequences may be. He'll be with you at the grocery store when that person you've been wanting to invite to church, right, is there, and you get kind of nervous because you've tried to make that invitation. You've tried to make that invitation a number of times. He'll be with you when your family, right, extended family, just doesn't understand why you go to church every Sunday and why you have a life group and a small group and why you seem so religious. He'll be with you, right, in your life group. And as your life group prays about where are we going to serve in the city and how can we make a difference, he'll be with you as you're looking at your family and your rhythms and your routines about, man, how do we leverage our lives more for the sake of the gospel? Jesus promises that he will be with us. He doesn't leave us alone to just figure this out on our own, but rather promises his Spirit, promises to gift us and equip us for the work that he's called us to do. And so I hope, really two things that came out of Sunday. One, that we feel the, in some ways, the weight of responsibility that God does, right? A genuine faith should always produce works. It will always produce works. We are called to leverage our lives for the sake of the gospel. We will give an account to the Lord for how we've utilized our time, our talents, our treasure. And at the same time, remembering, Jesus promises to be with us. He will equip us for the work. We need not fear like the third servant, but rather we can anticipate with eager anticipation the return of Christ, knowing that he is a good master. He invites us to call God our Father. Our Father loves us and delights in what we do, and he promises to be with us in every circumstance. So I hope that encourages you this morning. Wherever you're headed today, leverage your time, your talent, and your treasure for the sake of Christ. Let me pray for you, and then take a moment and pray for yourself. Father, thank you that you have given us our lives meaning. Father, we are made in your image. We have inherent value and dignity just because of that. And we've also been given a purpose, Father. As believers in Christ, we've been called to love you, to love others, to make disciples. And Father, as we do that, we are spreading your fame. It's not about us, it's about you. And yet, Father, we find that as we give up our lives and we live our lives for you, that is where we find our greatest joy. We were created for that purpose. That is where our significance comes from, Father, in being your children, your servants, faithfully living our lives for your glory. So, Father, will you help us do that? Will you help us to remember that? Will you help us to live in anticipation of your return, Jesus? And remember, Lord, help us to remember that you are with us and you equip us for the work that is ahead. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time just to pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.